In our Sunday evening series, we're looking at the ascended ministry of Jesus Christ. The work and the role and the titles and the offices that he has now, today, in heaven. He was the eternal God. He became the incarnate Son of God. He lived in this world. He died for sinners. He rose again from the dead triumphant. He was ascended into heaven, and now he's seated at the right hand of God, forever in heaven, for his people. And we're looking at all the wonderful aspects of that ongoing life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. His work is not over. The work of the cross is finished. The work of paying for sins is once for all completed. But the work, the intercession, the ministry of Christ goes on for us. And this evening we're looking at his role as our captain. You'll see on the notice sheet the title is Christ, Our Captain. I read that little passage at the beginning of the service when Joshua met the Lord Jesus Christ there, we think. That pre-incarnate vision of Christ as the Lord's captain, the captain of the Lord's army. And Scripture speaks of Jesus in this way, as our captain. It's not a title that we often think about in relation to him. It's not the most common description of Christ, is it? But it is used in Scripture, and it has great application and meaning for us. Someone has described the captainhood of Christ, if I can put it that way, as one of the Bible's overlooked treasures. We want to mine that for a few minutes this evening. This title has to do with his role for us. A captain is not just a leader and a commander, but the translators of the Bible have tried to find a word in English which translates this word well for us. And they've struggled. Different versions have chosen different words to try and get the meaning across. Some versions have used the word prince, sometimes pioneer, sometimes author, sometimes founder, sometimes captain. All of those words have been used. It's found throughout the Old Testament in the messianic prophecies as the one lifted up to lead us and to draw us. It's used particularly in Ezekiel many, many times. It's used there of David being a figure of Christ, being the prince of those who are saved. And in the New Testament, the word is only used four times. And in each of the places, we have it translated slightly differently, depending upon our version. It's used twice in Acts and twice in Hebrews. We're going to look at those four verses tonight and see if we can glean the wonderful teaching that there is in it. In Acts, it's translated prince in the NIV. In Acts chapter 5, we'll turn to it in a few moments. And in Acts 3, translated author. And then in Hebrews, we read earlier on, Hebrews 2:10, translated as the author of our salvation. Hebrews 2:10, you'll see there, the author of their salvation. The other reference is Hebrews 12:2. Again, the NIV translates author. The ESV, if you've got one of those, translates both of those references as founder. Founder of our salvation. And that's a little bit more helpful, because this word describes someone who has begun something that others enter into and benefit from later. Think of somebody that founds a hospital. A great doctor goes into one of these river communities and sees the malaria and the needs of these communities. So they found a hospital. And even though years later the doctor may have gone, the hospital is still there and people are still benefiting from what they have begun and started. That gives us something of this title of Christ our captain. He has begun something. He's forged something. He's founded something that we, his people, can benefit from later. That's part of the meaning. We might say that Abraham was the founder of a spiritual family. All that follow after Abraham and who trust in the promises can benefit from the great blessings. We might say that the pioneers of 1620 who went on the Mayflower over to America, we call them pioneers or the founding fathers. That's the title used in America, isn't it? The founding fathers. They began a new way of life, and those who come after can follow them. Or think of somebody on a lifeboat who sees a boat in difficulty and they can't get the boat so close to the one in difficulty because maybe the waves or the rocks or something like that so somebody goes over with a line. I don't know if they do this in the RNLI, David, you can tell me afterwards, but maybe somebody goes over with a line and they jump out of the boat and they swim to the boat in danger with the line attached to them, and they hook the line and they attach it there, and then because they have swum across that chasm, because they've got across, there's now a line, there's a connection, and he can gather the endangered people in the boat and bring them back across the line. He has founded the way. He has pioneered the way. There is now a line, a way of rescue. So all those people in that boat can now come across the line that he has founded. Well, that's the meaning of this word of captain or founder that we have in the New Testament. Now, take in Acts 5, for example, that we'll be coming to soon in our series in Acts. But in Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 31, you'll see this word is used. And you'll see something of the meaning that we've just described. Acts 5, 30 and 31. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. The word Savior we're more familiar with, aren't we? But the word we've got here, Prince, is the word we're talking about. We could call that captain, founder, pioneer, prince, author of life. All of those phrases could be translated from this word here, prince. So look at it again. God exalted him, so it's talking about the ascension. God exalted him to his own right hand. So this is a ministry of Christ since his exaltation. As prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. So friends, this is one of the works of Christ today. Jesus is in heaven to give. As the pioneer and the founder and the author of things, he's here to give. And it's described here, repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. What a ministry of Christ. What better ministry today can we think of than that Jesus is in heaven to give repentance and forgiveness? The door of heaven is open to us because Jesus, in his present ministry, it's a giving ministry. Because he's founded a hospital for souls. He's run a rescue line for souls on sinking ships. He has pioneered a new nation, not in America, but a new kingdom in heaven for those who trust in him. He is our great pioneer. I want to describe three ways in which Jesus has authored and pioneered things for his people. And we'll take each of them from these verses in the New Testament. The first is that he is the author or the pioneer of life itself. That's Acts 3:15. Just turn over a page backwards. Acts 3:15. We had this a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning. And he's described here as the author of life. It's the middle of Peter's sermon, you remember, after they've healed the crippled beggar. They're up before all of the people, and the chief priests are listening on, and Peter speaks of Christ. And here we are in Acts 3, verse 15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. And the translation there of author of life in the NIV, it's this same word, the prince, the pioneer of life. Jesus is the one who begins life. He's the Word. He was with God in the beginning. It's through God that all life comes into this world. He breathes and things come into being. There was nothing and God spoke and everything came into being. All creatures, all human beings, they're alive because God breathes life into them. He is the source of all life. John chapter 1 verse 4 puts it like this. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And friends, this life that he's the author of, I'm not just talking about physical life. We've seen new life just 48 hours old or so in the church this morning, haven't we? Harry George born on Thursday. New life. There's a sense in which we see the creating authorship of God there in a little life. How wonderful. But I'm not just talking about physical life. We're talking about spiritual life. You know, C.S. Lewis said, the difference between physical life and spiritual life is as big a difference as between a statue and a living human being. There's a big difference, isn't there? Between a statue and a living human being. There's physical life and their spiritual life. And Christ is the author of life. He's the founder, the pioneer of life. He took on our human form in the incarnation, and he came to bring us eternal life, that we might live eternally with him. He said, I have come that they might have life, and life in all its fullness, life abundant. That's John 10, verse 10. He's the author of life. And friends, we only have this by trusting in Christ. He's the author of it. He's the only one that we can turn to for life like that. John 3, 36, for example. John 3, 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Friends, Jesus came to bring us life. He lives in heaven now as the author of life. He gives life. He's giving life into the world physically, and he is doing it spiritually. My friend, you will truly live if the author of life is the one who is the captain of your salvation. But you will never truly live, not spiritually or eternally, unless Jesus is the author of your life, the one who breathes into your soul, the one who cleanses the darkness and the death that is within us all. His resurrection was the beginning of new eternal life, and 1 Corinthians 15 describes his resurrection as the first fruit of all who believe. Those who die in the Lord and who trust him are raised also to life. We're resurrection people when we live in him. He's the author of life, and he's there in heaven granting that life to us who believe. So we can trust in him even though we are bereaved, even though we lose, even though we are cast down and discouraged. We look to our resurrection life. We don't grieve as those without hope as the world does. We are those who look to the author of life. He can sustain our souls even through death, even through disappointment, because we can live forever in him. Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Friends, he is in heaven to grant you life, to offer and give life to those who trust him. Second, he's the author of salvation. That's the phrase that we had in Acts 5 and Hebrews 2. Acts 5 is described that way, isn't it? Acts 5, 31. You'll see the reference to it. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince, pioneer, and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. That's salvation. That's the same phrase we had in Hebrews 2 that we read earlier on, you remember. Hebrews 2, it speaks of him being the author, the pioneer of salvation. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's the same phrase again. The captain, the pioneer of their salvation. Friends, what we have in salvation, no one else could give us. Not 1,000 years of good deeds. Not going to church 3 times a day, 7 days a week for 70 years. Not studying all the religions of the world. Not pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. Not anything. Only Jesus is the author of salvation, the pioneer. He's the unique, original kind. You can't get it anywhere else. There are sham fakes. We've just seen some on the screen. There are fakes all over the place. And nothing quite like Baskin-Robbins ice cream, is there? 31 flavors. If you want the original, you've got to go to Baskin-Robbins. You can buy a Tesco's value vanilla if you like. Maybe you do. Maybe you like it. But it's not quite the same as Ben and Jerry or Baskin Robbins or something like that. You need to go to the original to have the best ice cream. Jesus is the author of salvation. He's the only one. He's unique. He can give. He's in heaven to give salvation. To give it. He's pioneered the way. And the way is described for us there, you see, in bringing many sons to glory. It was fitting that God should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. There was a way that that salvation could be won and then given. There's a way that that salvation could be all accomplished and completed. And it was a road of suffering. Suffering for sins. Paying the debt that mankind has to God. And they don't want to pay that in the health and wealth gospel churches. They don't want to pay the suffering. They don't want to talk about suffering for the Christian. Everything wants to be easy. There's plenty of people that will sell you or con you for things to be easy. Who is there in the world that will step up to the mark and lay down a perfect life to pay for the sins of mankind? Only one. And it's the author of salvation. He's this perfect Son of God. And yet he steps into human shoes and then steps onto a Roman cross and bows down his head and breathes his last as his body is bashed with the wrath of God for sin. No one else will do that. Not for you. Not for me. But the author of salvation will. Because he is the giver. He's the pioneer. He's the one that swims from the rescue boat to the endangered boat through the troubled seas of sin to bring the rescue line of salvation. He's the pioneer. He's the founder. He's the one that will do this for us. And he grants then forgiveness in Christ. He grants it to us. We can't find it anywhere else. There's no other counterfeit that will count for anything. It's only Jesus Christ. And you see, the Jews had transferred, the Jews of Jesus' day had transferred their faith from God's salvation into their own circumcision and their own religion and their own background. And people do that today, and it scares me. If you're doing it this evening, if you transferred your faith into anything else but the author of salvation, you are unsafe. The ground you're stood on is sinking sound, and it's swallowing you up, and you don't know it. If faith is in religion, or in the Christian church, or in your parents' faith, you're on dodgy ground. Jesus is the author of salvation, having borne the cross, and he'll give it you too. He will. But you must come to him alone. He's the author. He's the giver. He's the pioneer of salvation. There are practical applications of this for us. Personally, we apply it in this sense that when we grasp that he is the pioneer and the author of salvation, it gives us hope, not just in the past for what he's done, but for now and for the future. Because day by day we can look to him, because he's still the author of our salvation. Yes, he died on the cross. In the past, we remember at the communion service, looking back to the cross, we thank God that he died there for us. But friends, he's the author today. He didn't author it once. He wasn't like one of the Bronte sisters who wrote the book and then finished the book, and now they're not doing anything. You can read the book or not. You can take it or leave it. Their authorship is finished. The authorship of Jesus goes on and on and on. And in difficult times, you can look to him as our pioneer and call on him again. For example, one of the hymns we like to sing in this church, 268, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. We can look to him, name him, brothers, name him, with love strong as death. In your hearts enthrone him, there let him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let his will enfold you in his light and power. He's your captain, and he can help you today in our struggles, in our temptations, day by day, in his present ministry. And corporately as a church, we must look to the author of our salvation, the captain of our salvation, to deliver us and to set us free from opposition, persecution, disunity, difficulty. The early church prayed many prayers for deliverance. We saw one just the other week, didn't we? When Peter and John had been in prison and the church were praying for them. And they were set free. Prayers for deliverance. Because our captain, the author, the captain of our salvation, he's mighty. And he is bringing many sons, did you notice, to glory. When God speaks of his saving work, He doesn't speak of it in chunks. He doesn't think of a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there, and maybe you won't get from this to this. God's saving plan is bringing sons to glory the whole way. You won't perish on the line if you cling to the saving truth of Jesus Christ. He will bring you all the way from the boat to safety, because he is the author, the captain of our salvation, and you will not perish along the way. What encouragement to a Christian soul. What reason to trust in Christ. He will not let us go. He's the author of our salvation. And third, the phrase that's used is the author also of our faith. We've seen he's the author of life, the captain of life. He's the author of our salvation, the captain of our salvation, and also the author of our faith. That's Hebrews 12 and verse 2. This is the fourth and final reference in the New Testament to this word of the captain of Jesus. Hebrews 12, 2. Let's read 1 and 2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, there's the word, the captain and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Friends, because Jesus in heaven, and because he's our captain, because his ministry goes on, the Lord does not want you to lose heart. So let's consider him the author, the captain, and the finisher, the perfecter, the completer of our faith. Faith is from him, my dear friend. It's not something you have concocted. You didn't dream up your faith. You didn't manufacture it. You haven't fashioned it. He has given it to you. He is the source of our faith. He's the foundation of our faith. He's what causes our faith to grow. And he is the object of our faith, the one that we look to and believe. Faith is not being religious. Faith is looking to Christ as the one that gives you salvation and a firm, true word and promise. If you won't believe Jesus, then you have no faith, whatever you call it. Not true faith, anyway. Faith is in him, his ability to tell the truth, his ability to carry out what he's promised, and his ability to save to the uttermost. And friends, we go back to him again and again. He's the author of our faith, and we need it ongoing. He who lacks faith, let him ask of God. He gives liberally. He gives to his people over and over again. Jesus himself is a great example to us of faith. He followed and obeyed his Father, even through the tough times. He lived in a hostile world. He faced persecution. His faith was tested. In the Garden of Gethsemane, would he go to the cross and believe that his Father would raise him? He believed, and he went. And he is our great example of faith. He is our captain, the captain and author of our faith. We look to him, and because he is in heaven, having walked on this world, he knows what we've need of. And he's there at the Father's right hand to grant it, to grant faith in the seasons when we doubt, in the seasons when we struggle, in the seasons when we're low, in the seasons when we're confused, in the seasons when we're attacked, when our minds are full of doubts, in the seasons when the Christian pathway is a hard pathway. We look to Jesus. We fix our eyes on him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Friends, the fight of faith is a good fight. It's a struggle at times, but Paul calls it in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. My friend, it's a good fight because Jesus is the author of our faith, of our life, of our salvation, and of our faith. And his sword is drawn. He's a captain of the Lord's army, and he will fight for you. And he will defend you against the accuser. And against all who would shipwreck your soul, if you will look to him if we all will look to him and drink in the strength and the faith and the life and the salvation that he gives to his people. Someone of old said, when our eyes are upon Jesus, we possess the secret of strength and victory that belongs to the captain alone. When you look to him as your pioneer, your captain, your author, your deliverer, your prince, he will grant all these things to you in increasing measure, in abundance, that you might live and that you might follow in him. Only Jesus can grant these things. He is our pioneer, our great captain. Let us all look to him afresh for the things that our souls need and cannot find anywhere else. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we praise you for that ongoing ministry of Christ, our intermediary, our high priest, the one to plead and intercede for us, and our captain, our pioneer. He is there that we also may join him and be with him where he is. Oh, Lord God, thank you for that hope of resurrection promise and of a home in heaven through sins forgiven. Thank you that Jesus is sufficient to carry us there. Oh, Lord, may our eyes and our gaze, every one of us this evening, be upon him, not upon the turbulence of the lives we live, or upon the size of the doubts that are fed into our minds, but upon the greatness of the salvation that is authored and given in him. Lord Jesus on high, send your salvation to this place. Grant it to us, we pray. Throw us the lifeline of salvation and safety. For Lord Jesus Christ, we will perish with anyone else but you. We cry out to you. Come and save us. Have mercy upon us. Grant us faith, abundant spiritual life, and salvation. For we ask it in your precious name and for your glory alone. Amen.